Hey everyone, welcome to Buzzing About Romance. I am Becky, and joining us for this episode is Jenny. Hi, Jenny.
Hey, Becky.
And Amanda. Hello, Amanda.
Hello.
And Leah. Hi, Leah.
Hi there.
As I just jumped on here, I realized I forgot to put the live is happening over on the Patreon. So hopefully people find out. Remember, it's 9 o'clock and we're live.
I know by now.
Well, but sometimes that little reminder is nice, right?
That's true. I mean, I do need a reminder.
I mean, sometimes I freak out with the like half hour reminder because I'm like, shoot, I'm supposed to be on. Oh,
so Michael really hates my calendar invites. Do they bug you guys? Because I guess they happen at the 30 minute and at the 15 minute. So it feels early.
Mine only does like the 15 minute.
Oh, you don't get
mine. Does it the 15, but I think I set it that way.
I think I set mine that way too. I don't get a 30-minute one.
I'm fairly certain I set it that way because Michael gets it like 15 minutes before. And part of that is, especially like when I'm working and stuff, if I'm really like in an edit and I have a meeting happening at 2 o'clock, 15 minutes before, I need that notification so I can stop what I'm doing, research or get whatever I need for my meeting and be ready. Because sometimes I lose track of time.
I think we all do.
Yeah, because I do it with my like kids' sports schedule. Like I do, depending on how far we have to drive, like I set the reminder. Because I'm like, this is when we have to get ready.
Well, that's the thing. Like for our kids' stuff, like I have to map out, like if the game is here, he has to be here at this time. So we have to leave no later than this time. And if I'm not the one driving, I text that information to the other half and hope that he remembers.
I think that in my Apple calendar, on my iCalendar, I make it tell me like at the beginning of the day what my itinerary is. And then it's like an hour reminder, a 30-minute reminder.
See, I don't use an electronic calendar for anything but this. Like, everything else I have to have written down. Because if not, I will forget it. Like, I need that.
All in my phone?
Yeah.
I can't have it in my phone because I honestly, I won't look at it.
I use mine nonstop. I have to. I just, I have to. Because I will forget. And I have, I don't know, I have a child that isn't really fast on their feet. And socks are a big issue. So it can take us a minute to find socks. So, you know. We need warnings. I don't know. Did you used to do that on the playground with your kids? Like 2-minute warning.
Oh, yes.
Yes, which is probably why my kids, like for the longest time, well, probably still, like they don't know exactly what 5 minutes feels like because 5 minutes could be 2 minutes. Or 20 minutes.
Yeah, that's fair.
So it's like
their time perception is off.
It's very skewed because it could have been 2 minutes or it could have been 20. Sometimes it was more.
I mean, really my husband doesn't have any time perception because he worked in EMS and I was like, people don't call you until they need you.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the thing has already happened.
Versus Amanda's over here. I just got to get my own shoes on and get out the door. Screw
it. Well, no, I mean, Jeremy and I both use calendars and reminders. So he's, you know, he's run jobs for a number of years. Right. So he's always scheduled out. So we're both scheduling people. So.
Well, see, Michael is very good with his personal schedule. It's everybody else.
Else's?
Well, yeah. So I think I've told this story, but I have a calendar, like a dry erase calendar on my fridge now. At the other house, it was like on a wall that you literally walked past it to go like from our living room into our kitchen. He asked me the one day, like what was going on. I was like, I don't know off the top of my head. It's on the calendar. And he looks me dead in the eyes. He's like, I don't look at that. And I was like, dude, I have done this calendar for years. I am not doing it for myself.
You're just doing it for shits and giggles.
I said that the other day at work, and I thought it was, like, the best. And my, like, Lisa had never heard it before.
What? Shits and giggles?
Shits and giggles.
Okay, but I think like, that we open Lisa's eyes to a lot of things.
We do.
Also, speaking of opening people's eyes to things, I was trying to explain Morning Glory Milking Farm to the Gunkles and their friend Allison tonight at dinner.
Oh,
In public.
how did that go?
It went well. I said they
Did it
milk the minotaurs, but not milk
milk
milk.
them?
And she's like, oh, okay.
I
Anyway.
mean, it's the same basic process.
I mean, I'm scandalizing people left and right. And then we talked about, Tylenol and circumcision.
Let's not
Oh,
even get
goodness.
into that. Let's get to the episode.
Let's talk about something else. So this is actually a community ask that we're doing tonight. Today we're diving into something that every reader has an opinion about, and that's book reviews. We'll be chatting about why reviews matter, how they help both readers and authors, and how to write a thoughtful, honest review without turning it into a spoiler fest. We all know the power of reviews, whether it happens some it's helping someone find their next favorite read, supporting an author you love, or warning readers when something just doesn't hit right. But writing them, that's a skill we're going to break down and how to do it well. Some of us on this podcast are especially good at writing reviews. Other of us, not so consistent, Jenny. What word do you want?
Just give up.
Oh, I
I
thought you
don't
meant like the quality of the review. I was like, who are you
know. No.
calling out there,
Oh,
friend?
she
definitely
no. I'm just
called me
talking
out. I
about
just stopped doing them.
the quantity.
Amanda is like probably our star reviewer.
Oh,
She
it's not
reads it, she
me.
reviews it.
We all know it is not me.
It's about a
Well,
80-70.
If I'm reading it for, a lot of it's Negelli is the reason that I have as many as I do, just because I can't like not write one when I do it. So I do not like the percentage to drop. That is why I can't let my Kindle
Yeah,
like
let's not
days
talk
go
about
down. It's
Negelli.
just it's it is very much an obsessive compulsive behavior. So anyway.
Fair, fair. Okay, so before we get started talking about reviews, we are going to break down, we're going to do a term of the week. I wrote one definition of it here, but then I'm going to talk about it in another way also. So who wants to read the term of the week that is written on the show notes?
I can do it.
Go for it.
Okay. ARC, Advanced Reader Copy, is a pre-publication copy of a book sent to reviewers, bloggers, and influencers. We'll talk about how ARCs play into the review process and what authors are hoping for when they send one out.
So, a lot of people will say advance review copy. And a reader copy and a review copy can actually be different. And some people don't realize that. So, the closer you obviously get to publication date, the closer it's going to be the reader copy. Because that is going to be a fully vetted, typically fully vetted, fully edited, fully proofed. Final version, maybe some small tweaks, but mostly that is ex the beef of the story is not going to change on that, right? There might be some errors like missing pair missing periods, a missing
Like it needs a final proof a lot of
right.
times on those
But
last reader copies.
reader copies usually are within a month to publication is going to be what we call a reader copy. Now, a review copy is more what we see over like on NetGalley when we have access to it sometimes 4 or 6 months. I think that the new Paisley Hope that comes out in November, I think I got a physical galley of that back June, July.
Yeah,
Yeah, I
those
read it
ones
a
came
long
out
time
really
ago.
early.
Yeah, and that is a advanced review copy, which is to say that there's probably could be things removed from that between when I'm reading it and when it actually goes to publication, that it might still have another round of edits and potentially at least 1 to 2 proofs before it would be a finished copy. So the farther out from publication date that you are, the more likely it is a review copy. Because when an author submits a manuscript to something like Publishers Weekly or is it Kirkus? Kirkus? How do you say
Kirkus Reviews.
Kirkus Reviews? When you send it out to those, you're just looking at the story, not necessarily quality of writing. But conceptually, how does the story come together? How are the characters? So it can be a little more free, looser as far as editing goes. Mm-hmm. Bonnie asks, so then how are you supposed to give an honest review of a book that might have big changes? Conceptually, the story would stay the same. The only thing, maybe a chapter might be deleted out. There wouldn't be any big changes to the actual lines of the story or the plot of the story. It would really be more in the mechanics. Does that
make
sense? Like
if there's a timeline issue that somebody notices, like after the fact, like right. Things like that.
And like if Publisher Weekly doesn't make it a starred review, likely then there would be very big changes happening.
Yeah.
Like, why didn't this get a starred review? Because people might not realize this, but Publishers Weekly and Kirkus, your publisher pays for that opportunity for them to review it. And it is not cheap.
And a lot of times those reviews are very broad strokes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's also like, so this is something that we use this word interchangeably. We'll say a blurb on the back of the book for like the synopsis of the story, the hook of the story, that's the description on the back. But that's technically a synopsis. It's supposed to be a synopsis, a spoiler-free synopsis. Blurbing a book previously would have been when you see like author Katie Robert says this is the funniest book she's read all year. Like I think if you look like on a Kimberly Lemming book, it'll have a blurb from another author.
Yeah.
And again, that author is going to blurb a copy of that book at the same time that the review copy is going out. Not the reader copy. Because publishing realizes that professional reviewers, so Evergreen Media, newspapers, magazine, podcasts, news outlets, they're going to review, their literary reviewers are going to review differently than a reader.
Yeah.
So they're looking for different things. They're not, you know, they're looking at the overall of the story, the vibe of the story, the feels, the characters, the world building, that kind of stuff.
And they definitely take into consideration like marketability.
Yeah.
Like you'll, I mean, it's not blatant, but you can see it when you read their reviews.
Yeah. Yep. And a lot of those reviews that are paid for, like Publishers Weekly and stuff, those are very, going to have a broader stroke to them. I think we talked about that, but also like, words are not wording tonight.
They're simpler.
Yeah.
A lot of times.
But they're like, not as simple as some of the bad reviews that we see on Goodreads.
Yeah.
No, they're more concise, more.
They're like, simple, but concise. Yeah. Like they don't go in. They're not super in depth. Yes.
Yeah. And I know that some authors will even use like librarians for blurbs on their books. They will reach out to the head librarian at Cleveland Public Library because it's a huge library, right? Or the head of the Philadelphia Free Library says that this is, especially in more literary fiction, upmarket fiction, or in nonfiction, you will see the blurbs would be different for those also. And who gets access to those reader copy or to those review copies. Okay. So, because I think that in the current wordage that is used by ARC readers or ARC people that you do get ARCs, they use review and reader copy interchangeably, and they really are very different copies.
Yeah.
That's why I'm trying to think what book it was. Oh, It Happened on a Sunday by Tracy Wolf. Do you remember, Amanda, when you hadn't gotten access to that, but I had, and the girl said, like, oh, I just haven't gone in and given access yet?
Oh, yeah.
That was because at the time you didn't have your
media label.
Your media label on your NetGalley. And so you still had it as a blogger reviewer. And so they want to wait closer to release so that it's the actual final copy being uploaded at that point.
Yeah.
So, and that's why, like, I got it instantly, you know, because I have the media link on my NetGalley.
Yeah, it's changed now. So
it's changed now. That won't be a problem anymore.
I mean, it's still sometimes a problem, but
right. Okay. So why are reviews so important in the romance community? So I'm going to pet peeve for a minute real quick before we get into this.
A minute.
What?
Just a minute.
For just a minute. So as we talk about reviews.
We're just here for the background tonight.
Tonight, maybe. This is like Becky's ranty episode. So one of the things that drives me bonkers is how can you support an indie author for free? Review their book. Which I respect. I understand that the algorithm help it, that if you put a review over to Amazon, over to Goodreads, that helps the algorithm. Like, I get it. I get it. And most people do get it. But as I say this, there is actually more value in a reader-to-reader review, a word-of-mouth review. Jenny at the library, somebody saying, I'm looking for a romance that, you know, is like this book. Jenny being able to walk over to the shelf and say, oh my gosh, you should check out this book. You should check out this book. You should check out this book. And if we don't have them here, check over on Libby and see if this, 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 and this is available digitally. There is more power in that than in any flipping review that you put on Amazon, you put on a website, or you put on Goodreads. And I think that sometimes many authors are so caught up in algorithms and follower counts that they forget about their readers. And I will also say, and then I'm done, I promise, and let you guys talk, that the average reader, like, you're writing your books for readers, not influencers. The average reader is not going to be engaged in online reading spaces.
No.
They just aren't. So when you go to Threads and you're like, here, you could support an indie author, just write me a review, you are literally preaching to the choir. And not even like a good choir, a half-assed choir that thinks they're influencers. It's a choir that's not wearing any clothes under their robes, is what I'm saying. Anyway, those are my feelings, and I promise to let other people talk. So why are reviews so important in the romance community? Why do you review, Jenny? Or not review?
I don't review.
You don't really review.
Part of the reason, like, I stopped reviewing as much is that I saw reviews being, I don't know, more controversial. Like, people were just coming at either other readers or
attacked
authors coming
reviewers
at
were getting attacked.
Yeah, and I'm just like, it's a book. Like, yeah. I got bigger things to worry about than, like, what you think about my opinion about a book. Yeah, and I'm sure we'll talk about this, but some of the requirements, quote unquote.
For ARC readers?
Yeah,
book.
Yeah.
The demand of posts and stuff.
Yeah.
Well, even the demand of, like, if you're not going to review it as this, hold off on your review. It's like, I understand why, but at the same time, like, you are giving me a book and saying, I want my honest review, right, and I'm going to give you that. But unless it's a 4 or higher, I can't post it until, like, the book's
been out.
There are
some authors that if you apply for an ARC and go back and they go back and look at your Goodreads and you gave any of their books less than 5 stars, that you will not be getting a review copy or a reader copy.
Not liking their books anyway.
Yeah. And if you look at my Goodreads, you'll see that I just mark books as read now. They don't even have star ratings.
Yeah. That's how a lot of my Goodreads is too.
Yeah. What about you, Amanda? Why do you write reviews?
So, I mean, there are two different camps on this. I write reviews for stuff that I get in advance or reader or review copy because that's the deal. I'm getting a copy. I'm gonna write a review about it. That's the agreement I've entered into for downloading this book. So I try to always do that on time. And then I try to, I try to review books that I love, like on my own. But a big part of it for if it's something that's not an arc, it's so I remember what the book was about. Honestly, it's for me. It's not for other people. My review is for me to go back and be like, oh, what happened in this book? Did I like it? Why didn't I like it? So really, it's if I'm not reading an arc, the review's for me.
And I know that I'm the minority in a lot of communities, not this community, because I think I've trained you all, that there is power in a one star or a DNF review. And we all see it, right? We all see people say, I don't review anything I didn't love. Okay, but I remember a book, and I can't even think of what the name of the book was, but I remember a situation where I was reading a book. And it came highly recommended. Like, highly, everybody was like, oh my God, you're gonna love this. It's such a great book. And I struggled. Like, I was in tears crying over it, struggling with this book. And I finally was like, okay, fine. I go and I look at the reviews. There is one review under 4 stars, one review, it was like a 2 star, where the person had the same issue that I was having with the book. And it was kind of that moment of like relief, like I'm not alone. I'm not the only one that thought that this was wacky or not right. Or the other thing that I think is really important, and I wouldn't have said this 5 years ago, but the content warnings, what you don't realize as you're reading it that could be problematic. Something that's kind of a little personal. Like, I wish that Kate Canterbury book that I had read that had the fucking bats flying out had had some kind of content or trigger warning, or someone in one review had said, hey, bats. I never would have picked that book up, ever. Ever. But there is power in that because I honestly believe to my soul. If you claim to be a reader, you are automatically a member of the reading community. And being honest, telling people what you truly thought of a book is being a good community member. Saying this book didn't work because the power dynamic was off and it felt yucky. That helps a community member that struggles with power dynamics. Saying, hey, there's a bat in this book, that helps somebody who thinks things that fly are gross. Community service.
I have bats on my fingernails.
Okay, so Jen Ellen says, as a reader, I've had to curate a group of reviewers and not just see what Goodreads or Amazon says because I don't trust a lot of reviewers. Leah,
That's what I was gonna say.
yeah.
Like when you were talking about, because if everybody has 4 or 5 stars, like,
I'm probably
come
not going to
on,
read that
not
book.
everybody liked this book the same. Like,
Well, it depends on the number of reviews that it has 4 or 5 stars. Like, if there's like 7,000 like reviews and it's still a four, like above a 4 star, but there's a good chunk of 3s, 2s, and 1s, like I always, when I'm looking at a book that I have not read or an author that I haven't read, I will always read the 2 stars and the 1 stars first, because why did they choose to make it a 2 star? Why did they choose to make it a 1 star? And if it's like silly to me reasons, like it's not silly to them, but like if I think like you 1-starred this for a really dumb reason, then I
like
go
it
back and
has too
read.
much profanity.
Well, too much profanity, too much sex, like,
Too much dick. I'm probably picking that book up. Do you
well,
know?
yes, I'm probably picking it up, but it's like, but if there's like valid like thought process to why it's a 1 star, like I will go back, like I'll go like skim through the 4s or the in the 3s to see like where that is. And it's like, so I enjoy a two-star review.
What about you, Amanda? Do you have a feeling on this? Do you go to three stars? Do you go to twos when you're picking up new authors or a book that you think might be a little overhyped? Your oppositional defiance says you just can't read it if it's too hyped up.
I generally won't. Unless someone that I know says, you know, someone you would trust, really like this. Yeah. If it's somebody that I trust, I'll give it a go. I typically read reviews after I read the book, or if I'm struggling reading a book. I try not to go in and look at them very much beforehand. I would like to form my own opinions. But, if I'm struggling with it, I'll go check it out. Or mm-hmm. somebody's like, you might like this. I might be like, well, let me make sure that I'm going to like this. And then, too, I think if you have any kind of media literacy, if you are good at reading and inferring things, I think you can tell when something's being review bombed, good or bad. Yeah. Yeah. Especially when books are first out.
Yeah.
So yeah. I don't put too much stock in like the Goodreads reviews before I read a book.
Does anybody ever find themselves looking at the date of publication and the date of a review? Like, so if I see, like Leah talked about a little bit, like if I see a book that's got 7,000 reviews, but the average is still above 4 stars, then I feel kind of comfortable with it.
Yeah.
But honestly, like we have all seen large media pushouts where like, yeah. Everybody and their brother got a copy who wanted a copy of that book. Like, we know that the author sent out 500 ARCs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, I feel that way about, like, Bella Matthews. I know that she sends out a ton of ARCs.
Yeah.
And so I always wait until we're almost – I look at reviews that are put up 4 to 6 weeks after release.
When I look at the reviews, I always filter it. So it's the newest reviews first.
Oh, that's
I usually don't look at any reviews that, I mean, unless there's not a lot of reviews, I don't usually look at any reviews that have like are posted like release day. Cause like on Amazon, unless the paperback is live early, you cannot review that book until release day. So I typically won't read release day reviews because those are almost always skewed reviews.
And so let's define the difference between reviewing and rating, because they actually are kind of different. I can give a critique on a book, and if you read my review, you think I hated it, but I gave it 4 stars. Like, why would you give a book 4 stars that you critically reviewed? For me, part of that is because of this podcast and because of this community that we all have created together, I feel like the community has an expectation of honesty, and I feel like I owe it to them because I know, especially like I've been reading the surveys as they come in, and I know that people listen to us. Like they listen. And when we say, oh my God, go grab that book. Or when we say, it's still questionable why, like who the heck are we? But I feel like I owe them honesty. And if there's, the book, I also don't think 3 stars is a bad review.
No, 3 stars is not a bad
writing. It just means that it was good. It just wasn't the best thing I'd ever read or the most phenomenal thing I've ever read.
Well, but
and I don't think you can rate it to a, I don't think you can give it a grading system.
Well, but we also, like when we're reviewing a book, like we look at the structure of the book, like the development of the story, the editing, the proofing, things like that. Like that can skew my review. Like I can love the characters, love the story, but if it has really like poor like proofing, then I will knock it down. So that's the thing too. It's like we're like looking at it from like the broad perspective, not just from like consumer sake.
Yeah. What about you, Amanda?
And I think it's different for everybody too. Mm-hmm. Like what you're, it's very subjective. You're 1, you're 2, you're 3, you're 4, you're 5. It's going to be different for everyone. So I think writing a review in that context if you write consistent reviews, people are going to learn eventually like how you're rating things. Because typically if I give something a 3-star, there was some large missing part either of a character or the plot or whatever. It doesn't mean it was bad, but I'm not going to post about that book on like my Instagram, or I'm not necessarily going to recommend that book to anyone unless it has something that I think someone else would really like that was just a problem for me. But I try to put that in my review. But in the same breath, it's like, I understand why people have such a hard time with this rating system because we use rating systems for so many other things.
We do,
Like, I
yeah.
am not going to get in an Uber car with someone with a 3-star. Like,
But see, a 3-star hotel,
it's
probably
really not that
okay.
bad. Yeah.
Yeah, but it's
Especially
like
for one night and no
it can
bed bugs in the
be,
reviews. I'm okay.
Exactly.
Well, and that's the thing. Like the star rating, like it's skewed based on whatever it is. Like it's not consistent across the board.
And we understand this, but there are p large groups of people who don't.
Yes. Well, and mostly authors. I
But
said what I
readers
said.
too. Readers
Well, but
too. I mean, the ones that attack. Like, like
Yeah.
that's.
When Lindsay and I did the review episode of Butcher and Blackbird,
Oh, yeah.
the DMs, the emails, the calling me everything they wanted to ever call the person they hated the most because I did not love it. And I felt that the narrator did not do a phenomenal job. And
Well, but that's the
they
thing. Like, a
came.
narrator can make or break a story. You get a bad narrator, and it can ruin a book.
100%.
And and so this brings up my next question because I get unreasonably irritated. And I realize that
Is
this
it
is a Becky
unreasonable?
problem. It's a Becky problem. I get this. This is when we talk about how much Tylenol my mom took. I get really upset at the people that give me 2 sentences reviews, especially on a newer book. Like, this was a
Yes.
great story. I just totally vibed with it.
Well, please don't use the word vibe when you're writing, like reviewing a book, because then that is a surefire way for me to not read it.
Don't read my reviews.
We
You give more than two
you do
sentences,
no,
though.
No.
There's structure
I
to
use vibes a
yours.
lot because sometimes no other word works.
Oh. Well, but when you're
But
saying
fine. But
vibes, it's different than other people saying
you're not,
vibes.
that's not your like
My
whole
only
review.
sentence.
No, it is not your, I vibed with this book really good. You should read it.
I mean, sometimes
You
if
know the
I'm.
reviews we're talking about with
Yeah.
three
No, I
exclamation
know.
marks at the
I'm
end.
just joking.
Vibes.
But no, I get it. Like, especially if it's a newer book. Like, I mean, I'll do that sometimes when I get, like, when I go on a binge. And a lot of times I'll just leave a star and I won't even say anything. But sometimes I'll be like, oh my God, I love this. Like, whatever. That's all I'll say. But, or I'll make some random comments about the characters. But that's usually like a book that I'm either rereading or binging that's really old. I wouldn't do that for a new book.
I just,
So I get it.
and one of the things that's another irritating thing about reviews is when basically, and I see this from somebody that works with authors. Like, I go to look at reviews for the authors because, and again, I'm going to be very clear, reviews are not for the author. If you are using your advanced readers as your critiques on your book, you need to stop. Get a best friend, hire an editor, get a good pay for a beta reader. There was, oh my God. Anyway, I'm not going to talk about
I know what you're talking about.
that. Do not use reviews as your critique on your book, or use it to like better your writing. That's not what reviews are for. But what is very frustrating is when you know that this person got an advanced copy and they basically just use some similes to rewrite the blurb. Like, they change
Or they
small
just copy and
town
paste
to
the blurb. Those are
seaside,
always nice too.
seaside town instead of
Oh, I
small
haven't
town.
seen that one. Oh my God.
They're
Yeah,
basically, it is a rehash of the blurb in their review.
and I'll do that to like a certain extent to explain maybe like plot or pacing or whatever. But yeah, the people who just like regurgitate like the blurb is
It's super annoying. Or
or
it's
or
like,
especially when they do it with the wrong one.
oh
Well, we have seen an
yes.
uptick in that, and we'll get
There
to
was
that.
that. Yeah.
We'll get to that. We'll talk about that in a little
Okay.
bit too, that we're honest to be seeing. But yeah, the reviews that are just the there is a way. So when I go to write a review, this is what I often do. One, especially because of who are my followers. I hate that word. The people that are seeking me out for book reviews, they're expecting me to give them tropes, any content issues, and overall feel. Like if I loved the character, if I loved the female main character, if I loved the male main character, or there was a really cute dog in the book. There are certain things that I understand that my community wants for me when I write a book review. So I always try to look at my reviews, and as long as I don't share anything that isn't in the scope of the blurb, I also use the 30% rule. I feel like if it happens in the first 30% of the book,
It's not a spoiler.
unless it's a secret baby, that's like a shock, it's not a
Well, but
spoiler.
most of the more often than not, secret babies you know about going in.
Right. Same with accidental pregnancy. You tend to know that they put that in the blurb. But if it happens within the first 30% of the book, I don't feel that it's a spoiler.
I think it depends on the book. In most contemporaries, I would say no, but Leah and I did an author interview recently, and something that happens in the very first part of the chapter was something we didn't want to necessarily mention because it was part of the world building, the
Yes.
arc.
But that was a whole different like scenario though
Yeah, it was a
too.
different scenario, but it's like
Yeah.
I think sometimes, like,
But like going
there's things
into
like,
it. Occasionally.
yeah, and
Yes.
that's
But it's
about
like
it.
going into like we knew like this is something that readers need. Well, and like other people might not think that, but you and I were like, this is something people need to experience firsthand.
But
Yeah.
okay, so let's take Savor It, because we've all read it, right?
Oh, I love that
Yeah.
book so
So
much.
we've all read Savor It, and I'm see it because it's
Right
precariously
there.
sliding off of Jenny's bookshelf. Yeah. So
So
listen,
pretty.
Savor It. In the beginning of Savor It, we know that he is fired from his job at the restaurant in New York. The owner friend gives him an opportunity to go to the small town of Spoons and help open the new restaurant that they're trying to open there. We know that he is in charge of the care of his niece, that there's some wonky stuff there, and then we know the heroine is going to be his neighbor, and that she has a house full of random animals. And I feel like their meet cute is a great. So I feel like in a review for that, you could easily say, like, down and out fired cook moves to cross the country to a small town in Oregon. And, right, it's Oregon.
Yes.
Spoons, Oregon.
And, he sets off the fire alarm and
The
the Roomba and a goose. Like, I feel
Roomba.
like
I so thought that was gonna be a bat.
I think
the
I
book could have been
alluded
done for me.
to something happening, but I didn't like specifically say the Roomba. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like,
Yeah.
I
Yeah.
alluded to
But
like the
you.
meet cute situation.
But it's
Sorry,
all
I'm
in the
like losing
word
could say great
too.
meet cute.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like you don't want to give away in like specifics on a lot of that stuff, but it's like you want to talk about like how like amazing that meet cute was.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think you can allude without giving like every detail, you
Yeah.
know?
Yeah, and so I think that's the perfect way to say this. Be general in the things that you loved. Like, so for Savor It, this is a great small town romance, the underdogs that you want to root for with a fantastic meet cute, a menagerie of side characters that just
And animals.
Well, but
Yeah.
that could mean the side characters can be the animal
That's
character or
true, yeah.
animal. So a menagerie of characters that just add to the overall elements of the book. There, you've got three sentences that really describes that book very well and might just be enough to spark interest for somebody.
Yeah.
You do not have to tell me all the things.
Well, and I think that's the thing too, is you can't like too long of a review is too much. Like, I
Well,
don't mind a long review, but it
how
can't
you
be
guys
too long.
approach it, because I have a very formalytic view of it. Like, I do like kind of the short summary, then I look at like the main characters, like were they like fleshed out, did I like them, did I not, and then like my third paragraph is usually like what I liked about the book and if there was anything that didn't work for me.
Which is very academic of you.
You're showing your nerd,
Yes.
Jenny.
Matt, yes, yeah. Imagine that.
Which is what we love about Jenny, right? Like, we love that she does that. I tend to write a longer review if I have it as a NetGalley. Just because the feedback that publishers are asking us for. But then typically what I do is I will summarize it for Goodreads.
I forget to take my reviews over to Goodreads half the time, so.
Sometimes I will and sometimes I won't. I think it really depends on the book and what I'm trying to say. If I'll shorten it, I've done it before, or I'll shorten it maybe sometimes for the blog. If I've just gone into way too much detail and WordPress doesn't like it. But
It's true, WordPress gets real mad at us
Yeah, or
too.
I'll have to insert like,
The
headers in the
readability is still
middle
red.
and So like sometimes I'll do it for that. And if I have to do it for that, then maybe I'll probably tend to change my Goodreads to that. But I don't
Yeah, I
know.
do tend to shorten for Goodreads, summarize it. The other thing too is I think you can only write a 3 or 4 sentence review and give enough information to a fellow reader. Because how many times do we have somebody going on like single dad nanny, but it's also his best friend's little sister? And how many of us are like, say less? Say less, we're sold. Like, you can give little, like, if I said women in STEM, she's a little unlikable,
That's all, Jenny.
hero is
Yeah, that's
quirky.
all I need. I'm
Jenny's like, in.
Just women in STEM.
No.
You need not say anything else.
So I think one of the things to think about as you're writing those reviews are keywords. Keywords. What are some keywords that stand out to you about this book?
Like a
What is,
kidnapping or a stalking. Thank you. I'm there for that.
dynamic? Right. Here's a dynamic. He stalks her. It's funny and he's kind of inept. I know that Leah's going to read that book off of those 2 sentences.
Yes, I am.
If I say, Leah, there's nothing but dicks in this book, she's going to be like, thank you. I mean, Heather, all we have to do is say, hey, Heather, it's queer. I'm in.
Or friends to lovers.
Friends
She's
to lovers.
Oh my
She's
gosh,
down.
yes.
Or no third act breakup. But again, does saying, if there is no third act breakup or there is a third act breakup, is that spoiler? Because I will tell you, for me, if I see it says no third act breakup, unless it's romantic suspense,
Well, it depends on the
I'm
author
likely
for
not
me.
reading it.
It depends on the author in contemporary whether I read it or not.
Yeah, it depends. I think if it's and sometimes the blurbs say it, or the
But
authors
that's
are
true
okay.
because
That's
it's a
fine.
lot of on the
Trope
marketing
things.
now.
So I mean, I think I will if it's if the, it's been marketed that way. Like I may put it in there, or if it was something that was, that I was really expecting to happen, and I was not going to be happy that it happened. I may allude to it again. Like I try to allude to things without saying them directly. I'll be like, oh,
When,
this one doesn't
yeah,
have a lot
that's,
of
yeah.
external, this one has more external drama than
Yeah.
internal drama, say.
Well, and like when I do author spotlights and we're taught like talking to authors, I'm like, yeah, we're being super vague, but there's reasons for that. It's like I don't mean to be obnoxious in my vagueness, but sometimes you need that.
So how do you share what you didn't love about a story without dragging it or spoiling it?
Well, a lot of times I'll just say like the pacing was off, but this part of the book worked really well. Or I didn't love this character, because of this, but I did enjoy this about them. Like I always say, like a negative with a positive,
Yeah.
or I
I
try
like to
to at least.
say they made questionable choices.
Well, sometimes they're just dumb.
I've used like a key deception, like I said, a key deception on my Devney Perry Shield of Sparrows review. And most people got it. Somebody was like, "What do you mean?" And I was like, "Well, I'm being vague on purpose. Like, I'm not going to tell you what it means, but I mean that there was something that was held back that was a central part to the story that did not work for me." But in the same breath, I'll say, "But it was a really, I enjoyed the world building or I enjoyed whatever." But I like to do what Leah does. If I'm going to give a negative, I like to follow it up with a positive or something to that
I
effect.
think you can also say things like there are a lot of untied threads throughout this book,
Yes.
like, or I was really kind of lost with a couple of plot holes that I felt were issues. You don't have to specifically say what the
Exactly.
plot holes are, unless it's the fucking Elsie Silver book where she's so close to her parents, but you never meet the parents, and the dad is his favorite rock star of all time, but never shows up. Even for like the birth of the baby, like this just bullshit. Anyway, I'm just
Well, I
saying,
you don't get me started on close families.
but let's just say that you can say things like there are some plot holes or like, the idea that this is a really tight-knit close family, but some
But
people,
the sister doesn't show up for a wedding.
well, you can't say that, but you could say things like there
Well,
feels like
actually,
there's missing.
after I did write a review, like, and I
What?
was really enjoying the book, like,
Oh,
two
and then it
weeks
took a
ago.
turn.
Well, like, it wasn't so much of a turn as it just kind of went. Like it fell
Just
flat, like
that's
it
always the
didn't feel
worst, too.
true to the characters, and that's how I said it. Like the resolution did not feel true to the characters and fell flat for me.
Well, and that's the thing too. Like I will like say in a review, like the character to me was flat, but I can see why people enjoyed them.
Yeah, because we all like different types of characters,
We do.
Yeah, we
So we
don't
all
even
have our
all
type.
like the
I
mean,
same
between the
books.
four of us, we have a
Yes, because
variety.
we know that Amanda and I have a very specific type, and
Yeah. Jenny
not
doesn't
everybody
like an
likes that.
asshole as much.
Jenny
She's
does not like an asshole.
But I had there's a girl that I'm friends with. Her name's Gemma, and she has like a very strict like way that she likes her female characters. And so she gives them, she rates them on a scale of wet lettuces.
Oh. How many?
Which is
That's
hilarious. And so I always think I don't know why, but like so I will tend to rate my, I'll rate my male main characters on an alpha whole scale, and then I always think about her wet lettuce
so
analogy.
funny. I kind of enjoy that a lot.
Right?
So a mistake, and this is going to take us into our next section here, is a mistake that I have made in the past is I won't know how to write the review for the book because I was kind of on the fence. There were a lot of things that didn't work, and I will go and read other reviews that are within that same like 2-star or 3-star, and then without realizing it, I'll write the review, go and paste it, and it really feels like a copy of what the other person wrote. So I stopped doing that. I encourage you not to do that. Because I've had people like tag it and say, "Hey, this sounds like so and so's review. Did you just copy paste?" I didn't, I mean, the wording
No,
is
but you
not the
had it in your
exact same,
head.
but I had it in my head and I just, so that is a mistake that I have made. The other thing you should not do is use ChatGPT to go in and write your review. Because, and it's very clear at the bottom of ChatGPT, it will say not all results are factual.
Right, they're just gonna make stuff up.
It'll make shit up
Yeah.
if you ask it to. And we recently saw a scandal on an arc of the last Elsie Silver book where a girl had
Obviously.
obviously gone to ChatGPT, said, "Hey, I need to review this book." Maybe gave it the blurb and it wrote a bunch of stuff and put like four Elsie Silver books together in that one review.
Yeah, I don't think she even gave it the blurb the way that read.
Red.
Right.
Like, it was the
Because
wrong
she
book, totally.
gave it the blurb the second time.
And it got the
Oh.
wrong names.
Oh, that's right. She did it twice. I forgot about that.
So maybe not do that. Maybe not do
Maybe
that.
read the book so you can fix
And,
the chat GPT did for you. If you're gonna do that.
so honest review does not have to be harsh, but sometimes what you don't think is harsh, because this is a Becky problem. I
There's a lot of Becky problems
there is a lot of
tonight.
Becky problems tonight. I
There
was
really
just
is.
thinking that.
There really is. I am a mess, but it's fine. People love me. It's fine. A lot of times what I am trying to be critical can sometimes feel like an attack or mean or harsh, particularly to the author, but I'm not critiquing them, first of all, and this is why reviews are not for authors. And if you're best friends with that author, I'm really sorry that my review offends you.
To my point, books and novels and writing is an art. If you cannot handle sitting through a critique of that, you are in the wrong field. Go into a class
I feel
as an
like
art
every
major and
author needs to go
like
to
they
an
need to
art class.
sit in a class and listen to your like classmates sit there and tear apart the work that you have worked months on or weeks
Jenny
on.
and Amanda, did either of you take like an art class in college?
Yeah.
And did
No,
you?
but I took a preaching class and
Yeah.
then
So
had
did you
people
have
who
open critique?
Yeah.
So like
Yes.
my like sculpture, my painting, my pottery class, all of them, one day a week,
Yeah,
we
we
had
would
open
sit there.
critique, and it would be at random that the professor would pull you up, and you could end up like 6 weeks in a row being the one up there with whatever piece you were assigned to be working on.
Oh, see, our professors didn't pick. Our classmates would just be like, okay,
Oh,
we're
my.
gonna talk and pull this apart and tell you how much I hate it.
And then the whole class, it's opened up, it's in a round, and they just like,
Pick.
what is that color choice? It's blurry here. Why isn't that line defined? What brushstroke styling were you using? Did you use what medium versus what
Like, why did
mix-in
you
did you
make that
use?
choice? Because that right there looks not very good, and I would have done that differently. Like every author needs to sit through a critique like that because
You.
it is the most heartbreaking thing that
And the
you can
secondhand
experience in your life.
embarrassment. The
Yeah, I've
yeah.
done art in high school and then I've done a short story one like that in college. So
Oh
I've had
yeah.
people pick apart
I
my
remember
art,
a
which was very
poetry
mild
class.
and very mild in high school, but the short story in college was
Oh,
rough.
college was not
Yeah.
mild.
Yeah. Poetry class
Yeah. Oh,
in
yeah.
college.
Oh,
It
I
was a
never did
level
that one.
300.
Ooh, oh, like that's just asking
I
for
dropped 2 days
trouble.
before
Yeah.
the deadline
I would have dropped that as
because
well.
I was like, no. Nope, 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 nope,
Feel
nope,
like
nope,
I've
nope.
experienced this before. I don't need to do it again.
Like, 'cause I'm not a poet. Like, I get it,
I'm like, I'm not making a career of this. I'm out.
but I needed the writing credit and I thought,
But a
oh, this is,
300 level class, what were you thinking?
I just figured it'd be easy. It was a 400
Your
or it was
schedule.
a four credits. Like, I thought it'd be really easy. It's poetry. It's
Yeah,
poetry, Leah. It
exactly.
was
It was poetry.
poetry.
It's not really easy to know.
Instead,
It's not like you're writing haikus.
I ended up taking a level 200 class where the professor was obsessed with the Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe,
Oh.
and Lewis's friendship, frenemy situationship with Tolkien, and their
Yes.
battle of theologies, and how much they like undermined it and hated each other, but were also bros.
Best friend.
Yeah.
Yeah,
Yeah.
like,
Yeah.
yeah. And this professor made us like, anyway, the things I can tell you about the Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, and the Lord of the Rings. And that's been like 30 years ago.
Hey, some things stick with you. Yeah,
Yeah.
do.
Some people, their mom took the Tylenol. That's all I'm gonna say. Okay, let's see here. Anything else about reviews we need to talk about? Jen Ellen says, who cares about facts anymore? Listen, Apparently not a lot of reviewers. They're more about the stuff. I think that's part of why, like, I don't share reviews on Instagram anymore. I know Amanda still does.
Occasionally. Like, I don't put the full thing. I tell them that it's on Goodreads or
I stopped sharing reviews to Instagram because it, one, people would come for me, you know, if they didn't like my review of the book. But also, like, it just didn't feel honest anymore.
Yeah.
Because it felt like they were just doing it, one, for the requirement, and two, for the stuff. Like, I think the worst thing that ever happened to the book world are PR boxes. Paperbacks.
Yeah.
Like, if you really love that author, buy the book. Don't demand a box. Buy the book.
That's the thing. Demand. There's a lot of demand.
Yeah.
Well, but there's a lot of demand on the author side, too, because, man, we were on an art team, and she wanted, like, 3 videos for every release, and, like, you had to post from, like, cover reveal to, like, teasers to the countdown for the 10 days leading up. And I'm like, for a $4.99 book, no, my time is worth more than that.
Also, who has time for that shit?
Who has
time? Yeah, I got the two. Right? And again, the people that you're trying to reach are not the people you're reaching with those. Like, the people that are seeing those are the people that are already reading those books.
Yeah.
Well, right. And that's part of why authors, when they get all kind of crazy about, like, follower counts and stuff like that, you're not at this point. Some of those large influencers, half of them are bots, half of them, the majority of them are other influencers.
Yeah.
And that's why I like to remind authors, the majority of your reading community is not engaged on an online space. You know, spend your money on those Facebook ads. Yeah. Spend your money on the Amazon ads, because that's where people spend money on YouTube ads. Mm-hmm. Like, if you want to go wild, buy a YouTube ad. Because you might find someone that, you know, maybe they're listening to our podcast and they, you know, hear an ad for one of the books that you wrote. I mean, we do that sometimes when we want to. Sometimes when we want to. Okay. Is there anything else we need to hit on about reviews before we can talk about our books of the week?
I don't think so.
Jenny, you got anything? No. Okay.
I think you've preached enough.
Step off, sister. Okay, guess what time it is.
It's that time.
Book of the week. Book of the week. Jenny, where's your jazz hands?
The dog just came, like, running in. He opened the door and came running in.
He knew what time it was.
Jenny, what's your book of the week?
So I did read a romance. It was Cuddle Claws. I read the whole book. I'm still kind of meh about it.
Okay.
But
don't you have creepy pair of underpants?
Yes, creepy pair of underwear is my book of the week. I read this to get my job. So
yay, Jenny! Look at those beautiful
underwear.
Jenny is an employed, full-time librarian.
I am.
Yay! So exciting. Are you, like, over the children's area? Because I do question that.
I am. Oh. From, like, birth to high school.
Okay.
An adult.
Okay. I mean, you do have a lot of children, so you have experience with them.
A wide range.
Yeah, I think that helped with the whole, like, job interview. Like, look, I have kids. I've kept them alive. Like, they seem pretty smart. So I think I can handle this.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. I mean, yeah.
A few of them might have taken the Tylenol.
Stop. Yeah. Stop. I mean,
I can't. I'm sorry.
But, you know.
I know.
They also got cut.
I'm feeling really snarky tonight. And Leah's like, shut up. Leah, what's your book of the week?
My book of the week is actually, it's coming out on Tuesday. It is Conform by Ariel Sullivan. It's her debut novel. It's from the Thousand Voices imprint of Penguin Random House and Ballantine. that Jenna Bush Hager started. It's a dystopian story and it has a love triangle, and there's a class system that goes along with colors.
A love triangle?
Oh yeah.
Yes.
You
But there's
too
like a
fell in love with a love triangle?
No, the way that she tells this story, okay, so
Yeah.
this is the first book of a trilogy, and it's gonna be three sets of trilogies. I'm so excited about this series.
Yeah.
Like, but the class system, there's colors, but then location of like where they live also. And so it's like a tiered system almost. But this book, like, you'll have to listen to the author spotlight because Amanda and I did one.
Yeah, it'll drop
Oh,
tomorrow
like,
night.
yes. But
Oh, probably
the
not.
way that she created this world, it's so interesting and intriguing. And there's like some, the characters, like, oh my God. Like, Amanda and I, after the interview, we kept her on for quite a bit because we had to tell her our theories.
Oh my
Yeah.
God, you guys are so funny.
And
And she's just like,
both of the, no, she kind of
She
let
did
some
not really
stuff,
confirm nor deny some
no,
stuff,
but
but
she gave us
yes
some
to some
stuff.
stuff. And she
Yeah.
like, but she gave us a lot of things that it was just, she was wonderful to talk to. Like, I can't wait for people to listen to the interview. But this world that she created is, it's like Hunger Games, Divergent, like Red Queen and Handmaid's Tale kind of all rolled into one.
Yeah.
Okay.
And the two love interests, like, they're both morally gray.
Oh, yeah.
And you don't, and most people don't have a favorite. Like,
No.
that's the thing is, like, generally, when you walk into one of these love triangles, there's usually a heavy favorite.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
Oh, since it's a trilogy, do we know
we
which
do not.
one?
We do
Okay.
not yet.
No.
Okay.
And let me tell you, the way she ended this book,
Ugh.
no joke. I texted Amanda. I was like, oh my fucking
11:30, she's like texting me in all caps.
All
Leah doesn't
caps.
text people after 10
I
o'clock. No, I
know.
usually don't. But I
Right?
had to,
She's.
because like I got to the epilogue and I was like, oh my goodness, she went there.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's so good.
Amanda, what's your book of the week?
Okay, so my book of the week is also releasing on Tuesday. It is called Ours to Lose by Lacey Burke. We ran a special with Bookcase Media back in the summer, and Lacey actually reached out for me to do a quote poll for her on this book. I had never read anything by her before, and it's always like really nice when you get a book like that to work on and you're just completely obsessed with it. Like, I read this book in June. I'm still thinking about it, like, enough to know that it was coming out on Tuesday to want to tell everyone about this book.
That's
Like,
awesome.
it's a contemporary. Aubrey is the main character. She's actually like a sous chef who's being promoted to like a head caterer. Gabe is actually her best friend's brother, but his younger brother is her best friend. So it's like, and they were all like really close growing up. Some things happen, and Gabe is actually like a former boxer. He's been away fighting. He's retired now, coming back. They're both kind of having some new career things happening. They kind of get together on New Year's Eve and they have a New Year's Eve kiss. It's a little bit friends to lovers, but I would say more like the siblings' best friend situation here because he's kind of been away. But I was just like, I loved them both so much. Like, it was one of those ones where I was just like, I really just like the way this plays out. Like, I like their interaction. I liked all of the past stuff that's happened. He has like a contentious relationship with his brother. There's just like a lot of things going on, but like at the core, I really just liked them. I liked them together. There is a book one in the series, like about her boss, who is the head chef of the restaurant she works at, that I like immediately downloaded. I just haven't had time
You
yet.
read things out of order?
I did. I did.
Ooh.
And I didn't feel like I was missing anything, but there's enough that I like want to go back.
Okay.
So I think it's like, if you like contemporary brother's best friend, like the whole, like there's a little bit of sports involved because he's trying to open a gym, like the boxing thing, like she's a chef, there's food. It's, I don't know, it's all the things I like.
I was gonna say,
So
this is like your catnip, like boxing, food, like brother's best friend. I mean,
It was, yeah.
yeah.
So.
My book of the week is If You Were Mine by Carrie Ann Ryan. It actually doesn't come out for 3 weeks, and I didn't realize that, but this is Dorian and Harper's. This is book three in the Cage family, which is the new series she launched this year. And I mean, I love the Montgomerys. Don't get me wrong. I love the Montgomerys. I have been in love with those Wilder brothers. There is something special about this Cage family. Like, I don't know what it is. It's that Carrie Ann magic of messy families, and this family is messy. The premise of this book is the dad was, he had two families. He had the one that he had five children with, and then there was another, and there's four or five children from the second marriage. And they kind of, yeah. And the mom of the one, the lady he was married to, the main family, and there's, she knew about the other family, but there was like rules. And now the dad has died, and they own a small, they own a lake in the mountains of Colorado in a small town that's connected, is like the family's homestead, small town. Anyway, it's messy. This series, it's just, it is. It's Carrie and Ryan magic. Like, so this, If You Were Mine is one bed, age gap, small town, the playboy and the virgin, best friend's little sister. But I'm telling you guys, just check this book. Just check this series out. It's so good. It's so worth it. I think that you can do early. I think you can buy it early on her website.
Oh, yeah.
I think that goes live like a week before.
I think she
before.
Does it a week before, too, yeah. Doesn't she? Like Sawyer yeah. does.
So
you have time to catch up.
Well, and
that's
her,
true.
And Carrie's audios are always phenomenal. She always has really great audio. So totally recommend that. Don't forget, our Patreon members get exclusive content, behind-the-scene chats, early access to some of our show notes, and book rec lists. You can find all the details at patreon.com at Bookcasing Coffee. We also have been posting a lot of different articles with TBRs over on Substack. We also have them on Pinterest. Make sure you're following us all the places, Substack, Instagram, Pinterest, our website. Check us out. I was really bad in September. I didn't list our Patreon anniversaries, so I did it last week, but I'm going to go ahead and do it again tonight. September anniversaries, Ophelia is celebrating 4 years. Sue T is celebrating 3 years. Amy C is celebrating 2 years. And that was for September. In October, Heather is celebrating 5 years. Mindy is celebrating 5 years. Nikki is celebrating 5 years. Carrie is celebrating 5 years. And Marcy is celebrating 2 years. So thank you, everyone, for your continued support. Make sure you're back here Wednesday night, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, live for our discussion of My Demon Hunter. I am 65% in. The audio is fantastic. Anyway, I can't wait to hear people's thoughts.
Sorry, he keeps barking. He's locked in here with me
just
now.
Excited.
It's fine. He's fine. I think Zoom is muting it.
Oh, even better.
Okay, so I can't wait to talk to everyone about that. For a full list of books we didn't really talk about any books tonight. You can visit our on-the-shelf show notes at buzzingaboutromance.com. You can also check
out... You can read all our reviews there.
You can read all of our reviews there.
Not Jenny's, but
should.
Everybody else's.
Everybody else is not Jenny's.
All my reviews are there, but there's not many.
Don't forget to follow us on social media for all things romance. If you love this episode, please leave us a review on your favorite podcast platform. Share it with your bookish friends. It really helps us keep the hive buzzing. Until next time.
Happy reading, everybody.
Find us on Instagram at Buzzing About Romance or on Twitter at Buzzing Romance. If you like the podcast, please leave a review. If you'd like to support us directly, join the Bookcase and Coffee Patreon and receive exclusive content only available to Patreon members. Check out bookcaseandcoffee.com for our on-the-shelf show notes.